It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast for now, Bean Pod, that features our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Chaz. We have a couple of guests on the line tonight.
We do? Who do we have?
We're able to finagle with technology to get here.
Okay, and they are?
And they are my mortal enemy, Joe Mancuso, and your mortal enemy, Matt Gelchin.
Boo.
Welcome, guys. It's
Como?
Great to be here.
That was a really weak opening by you two. Gotta be straight.
You guys sound really enthused to be here. Thanks, thanks for bringing the energy.
My enthusiasm is unbridled.
Well, all right. So this is our predictions episode. For those of you who are listening at home, you won't be hearing this episode until after the draft has happened. We're recording this obviously a few days before. The goal being is that we're going to make some predictions, and then we'll get to see how right or wrong we were. With that being the topic, we'll do roundtable style for predictions. If you don't have one, that's okay. We can always circle back. I'm sure Mancuso and Gelch have more predictions than at least I do. Maybe high now. I don't know. I mean, I have a handful, but not. You know, I think you guys said like 19. So I'm hoping you're exaggerating.
Sitting here, I have zero predictions. I have to think of some on the fly here. So
okay,
I thought it'd be good.
Why don't we start with our guests?
Can you guess my first prediction? Oh, sorry. What's that? Gelch, can you guess my first prediction?
I cannot guess your first. No, I have not spent time prepping, thinking about predicting your first prediction.
The correct answer would be pain.
I should have known better. I've got at least 18 predictions that I've jotted down. Perhaps more will come to me as this podcast unfolds. My first prediction is for the divisions for this league, which I know Joe Mancuso is one to take very seriously, and so I gave this a little bit of thought. And my prediction number one is that the three divisions for this year are one, me, Chaz, Joe, and Hino. Division two being Rachel, Goop, Mike, and Snake Eyes. And then division three being Cat, Jake, Job, and J-Bone. And my logic for this was that with year 10, a lot has been made about the trophy, getting on the front side of the trophy. And so I thought, and I don't know if this was Joe's underlying reasoning or not, but that he would try to cluster champs in divisions. And so that first division is overrun with champions, accounting for six of the nine titles. That division two would then have the remaining three and their rivals. And then the third division would contain the also-rans, if you will. Figure I'd throw a little hot fire out there early. Those who, in some cases, have come,
oh,
come
division,
very close.
Division three, my goodness, listen to this. This is
yeah.
Unnecessary right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still don't know, right? So we have a voicemail that actually will tell us. So let's go ahead and listen to the very first voicemail from Mancuso from a few days ago announcing the divisions. Let's take a listen.
And now the People's Champ will name the divisions. As mentioned, my generosity is as limitless as the baby carrots. The first is Goop, Rachel, Mike, and Tim. They'll hereafter belong to the structural purists. It's guaranteed to be messy, and time will tell who's the real sandwich. Next comes Joe, Johnny, Kat, and Jake. Take pity on these poor souls, as every time they make a lineup change, they're soiling their electronic device. They are Cheeto Fingers Anonymous. Now, yes. Oh, yes. You've guessed it. That is right. Yes. Chief, you look at Chaz. Chaz, you stare right back. But that is not where the attack comes from. It comes from me, as I'm everywhere. This division contains six of nine titles, giant four. Thus, we are the horse-sized ducks, forever doomed to tear each other asunder despite our desires to fly together. Now the gauntlet is laid before you. It starts week one. Beanpole, out.
Gelch, you freaking nailed it. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. I hope this is a harbinger of good things to come for this season.
Well, you know, it's all downhill for this predictions episode. We might as well just sign off right now because I don't think anybody's going to get any of their next predictions right.
Well, I'm sure some of Gaucho's predictions will have asterisks. It's okay.
Wow. Thank you.
Also appreciate Joe's hot fire as usual.
I
don't think we expect anything less.
Yeah, just, four horse-sized ducks sitting here, with cigars in our mouths, getting ready to make some predictions,
All right.
My shirt's on for now, but you don't know how long it will be.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get a couple more predictions out of the way, and then we still have one more voicemail from Joe announcing the league name, but we'll save that towards the end. So let's go ahead and get into a few more predictions. So, Joe, why don't you fire a prediction off for us?
Oh, my first prediction. Exciting. So I think that Le'Veon Bell is going to come in far under his current price of $59 by at least $10, and none other than John LaBarge is going to acquire Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't know it yet, and he'll just be very surprised at the time when bidding suddenly stops at like $45.
I actually think he's going to come in lower than 45. I think he's going to come in around 38, 39, or 40. I think people are going to be a little scared off to go after him.
He hasn't played football in two years.
Right. And 1 year. And some of this could also be, depending on when and where he's nominated. But I actually don't think that he's going to go for that high. I really don't.
So
my prediction would be for even lower than what Joe is saying. I would say about 40 is where he caps out.
So I'm looking over my list here. I think there are only two players where I just figured, what the heck, I'll throw a dart out there. Three players I'm seeing where I went so bold as to throw an exact price. And I've got Bell down for exactly $46. That was one of my predictions.
What are your other players?
For exact prices, I've got Mixon for $33, and I've got Lockett for $11. I feel like
that's low.
Mixon
for both
will come in low because of his off the field issues and people kind of being like, do I really want to own him? And then Lockett, I think given that people might spend a little bit earlier on, and because he's not necessarily a big possession guy and somewhat touchdown dependent, I think he comes in a little bit lower and just figured, what the heck, I'll throw out $11. And actually, what the heck, I have one more, I think, and this might be my boldest of the entire draft. I'm going to say, if nothing else changes, and this is probably actually my dumbest prediction I've written down, I don't know why, Melvin Gordon for exactly $12. I think some people might just have zero interest and have anything to do with him. And so they say, I don't want to touch this with a 12-foot pole. And he comes in way, way low.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, especially, there seems to be no resolution to that contract at this point. I think for the one player I had pegged when I looked at the initial list Mancuso had sent out was, and then this will be my prediction, is I believe Nick Chubb is going to go into the 50s, and I believe he will end up as one of the top six highest running backs taken. My only question mark is whether or not he beats out Zeke. But I think he and Zeke end up going for similar prices, assuming Zeke doesn't sign by the time we draft.
How many players do you think?
I feel like Nick Chubb, to kind of piggyback off of Chaz's point there, I feel like Nick Chubb has potentially the most volatility of any top end running back in terms of where he's going to end up. Like, he could end up going in the low 40s. He could go into the mid to high 50s, like Jazz was saying. I feel like that there's a lot of wiggle room there. I've seen him go in the second round of snake drafts. I've seen him go, like, Joe Bryan had his draft tonight where Chubb was the fourth pick overall. So I think that's not a terrible prediction, Jazz.
Yeah, I feel like his, people's views on him are like that. So go ahead. What Mancuso and Gelch, what were your thoughts?
I'm going to loop in my prediction on Chubb is going to go back to Kat again. So she is very loyal to the pick she hits on, and she hit on Chubb last year. Hmm. Chubb to Kat. Kat to Chubb.
So I'll be a piggyback bandit here. I don't know where I'm going with that. I don't know if anyone remembers the story of the piggyback bandit. Do you remember that, Joe? Hino? I don't know if in college.
The piggyback bandit?
Yeah, it was actually kind of a sad story. This guy, he I think may have gotten arrested a time or two, or he would try to steal piggyback rides. He would, like, hop on unsuspecting high school athletes' backs and try to get piggyback rides. I'll see if I can dig up the article and send it around.
He was a pedophile, wasn't he?
I don't know that he was a pedophile. I think it was actually – I don't remember the details well. I think it was a little bit sad. I think he probably had some type of developmental disability.
Oh.
And I think he was – I think it was somewhat innocent. But the guy, I believe, was well over 200 pounds and would – try to sneak up on people and get piggyback rides. And he was known in this community as the piggyback bandit. But I was taking that piggyback and I was stealing it and going in a different direction. So I wanted to pose a question to all of you, which was how many players do you think go for over 60 this year?
Three.
Four.
That's my number.
I say three. And it's the top three running backs.
Yeah, I'm saying four. The top three running backs and Zeke. If Zeke signs by
you think Zeke gets to 60?
I think Zeke or DJ gets to 60.
Well, if Zeke signs before Thursday, I'm on the condition that he does. If Zeke hasn't signed by Thursday, Zeke doesn't go for 60. But if he signs, he goes for over 60.
Yeah,
I think if he doesn't sign,
go ahead.
He goes under 50. If he does, he goes 56. Zeke's going to top out of 56. I have McCaffrey going for the most money. And that would be $64.
I think Saquon goes for the most.
Yeah, I have him going
for 67. I have him going for 67. That would be a record. I think that's the record.
If he goes for 67, who do you think goes up that high?
I think potentially J-Bone. I think even though that kind of runs counter to what he's done, J-Bone had success with Barkley last year. I think, you know, it depends. I guess it depends on Joe O'Brien. How is Joe O'Brien feeling this year? Is he, you know, is Kamara his guy again? Is someone else his guy? Because we saw last year that if Joe O'Brien likes somebody, he is now not afraid to go balls to the wall. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I think Saquon goes for $67 or so.
So, since we're talking about the top running backs, my next prediction is going to be that someone's going to walk away with two of the top three or four, again, with that Zeke caveat. Someone's going to walk away with two of those top three or four. I think they're going to follow in my footsteps last year, but not spending that extra money on the third person is going to give them the ability to, you know, fill out the rest of their roster with, you know, a decent bevy of running backs and wide receivers and still feel good about themselves that they've got two home run hitting running backs, but more flexibility in terms of their wide receivers than I ended up with last year. So that is my prediction.
I got a prediction.
Could you follow in your own footsteps?
Theoretically,
like
but...
I think Chaz might go a different route for his boldness this year. The boldness will come from now that Ryan's out of the league, maybe Chaz goes for the double tight end formation or something like that.
Triple tight end formation,
which wouldn't make much sense because you couldn't play all three of them. But still.
Or would it? Positional scarcity. I own them. They're mine.
And then you just hold the third one hostage from the rest of the league until you get a overvalued trade offer for them, which will never come.
No, I think if I get three tight ends and then I take Mahomes, if I do the three tight ends and I do like Mahomes and like two or three other quarterbacks, I'm definitely getting trade offers that I want. Definitely. It's going to happen.
All right. Well, now we know where Chaz's boldness is coming from this draft.
I don't know if it was a red herring in the last podcast about the Chaz draft strategy and me trying to hunt down through the chat, but I did spend a little bit of time trying to read through Chaz's old texts in the chat to get a sense for what his draft strategy might be this year.
Did you? And how much time did you waste doing that?
It was probably about 4 minutes, I'd say.
Okay.
So it wasn't very time intensive. I was doing it while I was folding laundry yesterday. Actually, I finished up the podcast and let me see if it's nothing more than to have me waste a little bit of time. Kudos. But if it's not, then I'll might as well just take a little peek back through some old messages.
Well, what was the best? What was the best one you came out with that you thought might actually be what I was referring to?
So the one that I actually think is one that I don't know that would be actionable. There's one strategy that you floated that I just don't know that you'd have the dollars to do it. Actually, both of the ones that I came across, one of them you mentioned was doing the three running backs again, and I don't know that you would have the funds. Based on what I think McCaffrey, Barkley, and Kamara will go for, I don't think you'd have the funds, especially, I was taking you at your word when you said that you were planning on going for Luck as well.
Well, not anymore, clearly.
So, yeah, but that came out after that you said that you had settled on your draft strategy, and so it could be that you're planning, but maybe just my estimation of where people would go was a little bit higher.
Okay. And what was the other one?
The other one, I'll keep to myself for now, 'cause I think it was the only other remaining one that I saw. I'm curious if you're able to pull it off or not.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll see. All right. Who's got next prediction?
I got a prediction. Gelch will be walking away with Chris Carson.
You've been making that prediction since the beginning.
Per usual, you'll be heavily invested in the Seattle backfield again. But this time you have to pay a little more for Chris Carson. But you will pay top dollar for Chris Carson.
What's been top dollar for Chris Carson?
$42.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I sure saw him.
You're willing to go that high. You may not have to go that high, but you will go that high.
That kind of goes against my MO, though. When I overpay for running backs, it's often been overpaying for lower to mid-tier running backs.
Yeah, but like we're talking about the Seattle backfield. You can't help yourself.
I think it's more just been a product of who's been in that backfield than like the Seattle backfield particularly. Like if you think about the guys who I've gotten in the past and overpaid for, it's been the Bishop Sankeys of the world, the guy who was seemingly in a good spot. It was the Tim Hightowers of the world. Oh, he'll be the starting running back last year with Carson. Oh, starting running back in a run-heavy offense. But they've all were priced much lower, and then I went above average and last year's case, I mean, Carson hit. It's just I didn't get to reap the fruits of that. Okay. Well, I mean, I do like Carson. I will say I do not go into this draft anticipating that I will spend $42 on Chris Carson.
smokescreen.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we're all in one division. I'm so glad. You're welcome, everyone.
Who's got the next prediction?
I got one. I have the entity known as Goop getting James Conner for over his stated value.
Why James Conner?
What's up?
Why James Conner?
Wynkoop's in Pittsburgh. He's spoken favorably of James Conner before. If Goop has a heart, they decide things with it. And I just have a feeling they're gonna be targeting him. And it's going to be, if he's at like 44, they'll be moderately over, you know, like 46, 48, that range.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gut feeling.
Man, our predictions have been very similar. The one difference for me, I have Goop as a particular landing spot for another running back, I think, unless something changed in the last few hours, who's priced at the exact same value as Connor, and that's Dalvin Cook. I have Goop going a little bit above stated value, current value, to get Dalvin Cook, who I feel like could that Wynkoop could see as kind of a girly from a couple of years ago.
Well, interesting, because they had him last year, and it didn't quite work out for them, given Cook's injury-riddled season. So I don't know how many times does an owner or a team have a somewhat bad experience with a player and then want him the next year, especially if he's priced heavily. But then again, this is Gates we're talking about here, so who knows?
That's a fair point. I was not thinking about them owning Cook last year. That's valid.
But still, the Gates factor here, maybe he likes Dalvin Cook again. NFC North, you know, could easily see this being, you know, Dalvin Cook going to Goop again. But we'll see.
Clearly, Heino's going Dalvin Cook because he wants to make an overcooked-themed team name.
Oh, well, nice. It's Dalvin Cook. It's Brandon Cooks. We're getting them all.
Yeah,
and it won't be overcooked. It'll be too many cooks based on the Adult Swim short from a few years ago that was that I watched maybe 100 different times. Anybody remember that one? Nobody. I got crickets.
I do not think I've seen that one, but I will dabble afterwards.
Okay. Too many cooks. It's on YouTube.
Can't say.
Gulch, fire one off here.
Can't say I've heard about that. But sorry, I was getting distracted. I was thinking about the Canterbury Tales. Was it the Miller's Tale about the person who was cuckold?
Cuckold?
Little joke.
Cuckold? Yeah. Really? Really?
That was weak.
Really? Weak. What? You've had better.
How many times are people making puns about the word cuckold? And I'm taking a shot here, guys. Taking a shot. So
respect the effort. Execution was poor. That's all. What's your next prediction?
All right. Well, this next prediction is that Tim leaves his window open because he wants a little bit of a night breeze. And we'll draft Drew Brees. I think believe Tim has owned Drew Brees, and Tim made that comment about liking new guys. And I feel like if someone Brees probably doesn't go for a ton this year, and kind of like, hey, I'll throw a bit in. Okay, I got him. Okay, cool, man. So that's how I see that going.
All right, actually, I have Taco on Mahomes.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that better than Breeze, because I remember one of the last times that Taco was a solo owner, he ended up with Peyton Manning in like his 2013 season, I think it was. So I feel like Taco likes the high price quarterbacks.
That's fact. And I was surprised that he went with four quarterbacks last year instead of one high-priced one, but then he immediately swung that trade for Brady, who was not high-priced last year, but the second most in the draft at $10.
Over, under on how many quarterbacks Tim ends up with. I'll set it at 2.5. Over, under 2.5 quarterbacks
under.
That Tim has on his team.
I'm going to go under this year.
I'll go under because I like the idea of him going after Mahomes. So under,
if he doesn't
get Mahomes, I think 3 is definitely in the cards. I could see him doing like a Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, like getting one of those young QBs with upside, and then like getting like two others just for the hell of like two veteran guys.
Yeah,
just to bolster.
You can
have Andy Dalton.
I would be surprised if Tim goes with Jackson or Murray. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he's more of a standard pocket passer kind of guy with his draft picks.
He's like Saban. He's been wavered. He's been converted.
And Goff, Garoppolo. And trading for Brady, I feel like those are pretty immobile quarterbacks. But
yeah,
I don't know.
You never know. He might have a new offensive coordinator this year. You never know.
I got another prediction. Chaz will nominate Darrell Williams before Damian Williams gets nominated in an attempt to fool somebody into overpaying for Darrell Williams.
I love it.
That actually did work once, the first year of the draft. One coup paid $6 for wrong Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chaz will be at it again. He will nominate Darrell Williams, and we'll see it go to $2 or $3, and Chaz will laugh heartily wherever he will be drafting from.
Chuckle, chuckle.
That's a great prediction.
Well, now
I feel like I have to do it. Because you put the idea, you've inceptioned the idea into my head.
That popped into my head earlier too. I'm like, what if Chaz nominated? I was like, oh, just in my head, I'm like, make sure it's the right Williams that Chaz, the right D Williams if Chaz throws one out there. So I'm on guard for it now. You guys are on guard for it, but the rest of the league isn't yet. So,
gird your loins, everyone. Gird your loins.
Well, this is after the fact.
They're
so
always girded.
Hopefully, they will be girded.
I've got a couple other team-specific ones. I think Joe Brian goes back to the well this year after having success with the Big Ben streaming option and draft Big Ben once more. I think Mike goes with Todd Gurley. And then what I think is probably my personal favorite prediction, which I texted Joe this earlier. I believe that for Mike's standard $1 nomination player he'll drop, I feel like Mike takes that, puts more thought into that than anyone. I think that Mike drafts Andrew Luck with his ceremonial $1 bid.
Beanpole. I think he does it too. That's a great prediction.
That's a very good prediction. I like that.
Classy guy.
Mike. Could easily see that happening. Easily.
So that came to me earlier, and I felt like a very, very Mike thing to do. He kept in the family in the past with McCaffrey. I feel like if anyone's thinking about what message wants to be sent to the locker room and to the fans, it's Birdman. So,
well, I feel like another Birdman prediction has to be that he ends up with Julio Jones.
Of course. I mean, that's just an annual tradition at this point.
Mike, yeah, I feel like Julio Jones on the radar.
I think he is, too. I think now that Sarkisian's out there, maybe we get a few more touchdowns out of Julio this year. Who knows?
A direct snap, Mohamed Sanu, all day long.
Hey, Sanu can throw, right? So maybe they throw a maybe maybe they do a little package where, you know, Sanu is the quarterback at the 5-yard line and he throws like a jump pass or something to Julio running a slant.
One of my favorite running updates on WhatsApp, the Mohamed Sanu getting looks in the red zone over Julio from whoever's watching the Falcons game let's see. I did have another taco-oriented prediction. After losing the Juju Smith bidding war with Joe last year, I think Tim comes with his holsters out, or his guns unholstered, or whatever the Old Town Road vernacular would be, and he actually goes and gets Juju for probably a little of, I was going to say overvalue at 45. Now Juju's up to 51, close to value, right in that range.
It kind of brings me to another point of discussion I wanted to bring up. Since Joe O'Brien had such great success last year, and his strategy was to target guys that he liked, he went after them no matter the cost. It was Tyreek Hill, it was Juju, it was Kamara. Those were the big three. I'm forgetting some of the other ones that he had. How many of those players do you think he goes after again this year?
I think he goes after Juju.
I think maybe Kamara. That's about it. I don't know. Juju's going to be expensive. I think he likes to live in that like 20s, 30s range at receiver. I think he'll try to find some upside there.
Maybe Chris Godwin is this year's Juju for him, perhaps.
Maybe. Joe's going to look at good offenses, right? He's going to be like, I really like that offense. I'm going to go get somebody in that offense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I off the top of my head, I'm not sure who those guys are this year. Maybe it's running backs this year instead. I don't see the ability to go get Kamara, Kamara or top running back, which I think he's going to want to do, and then go get like Juju again, and maybe get Hill at a discount. I have no idea what that's going to happen with Hill.
I think he ends up with two of the three. I think it's Kamara plus either Hill or Juju, and I think he probably goes and gets Juju because there might be maybe some regression with Hill coming if Mahomes doesn't do as well this year. And B, Juju is not a suspected child beater upper. So there's that.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Mitch.
I do wonder with Hill where he lands this year. I have him, one of my predictions was that he goes under 40. I have
him right at 40.
No idea. No idea what the appetite for him is going to be.
I have him right at 40, and it's such a weird thing to think about. It's like he might go at a discount for all the wrong reasons, and it's just such a weird dynamic. I don't feel good about it in any way, shape, or form having him on my team.
I mean, it's so tough too, right? Because nobody knows what happened. It doesn't look good. I think Goop isn't going to touch him. I think Mike's not going to touch him. So that's at least two owners that probably want him to submit a bid based on WhatsApp conversations. So yeah, I mean, he's probably going to go way under value. 38, 39.
And it's going to be
somebody's sitting and they're going to be like, oh, I guess I got Tyreek Hill. Oh, okay.
Right, and it's like how are you supposed to feel about that, because you might get potentially a top three receiver for way under what he would normally go for. So, that's going to be one of the weirdest bids of the entire draft when he comes up.
You know who price enforces a fair amount that doesn't read the WhatsApp thread?
Jake.
So I think I could see a potential playing spot.
I was just going to say, I could see Jake maybe ending up with him because of that.
Yeah. And I think another thing about Jake, I think my prediction, I have not talked to him about the draft at all, so this is with no color. I just kind of reading through the lines of past history. I think Jake stays under $40 with his max bid this year, spreads it out. But I wonder how he comes back after last year when he left a lot of money on the table. So did just fine regardless, but.
Someone brought up Godwin earlier.
I did, sorry. Yeah.
I was just, I know the last podcast there was some talk of him really, really going high. I think he goes maybe above value, but I don't think he goes over 30. I think last podcast there was someone floated maybe he goes in mid to high 30s. I'm gonna say that he stays under 30, which maybe isn't a bold prediction so much, but perhaps in comparison to what was being floated out there last week.
He's on beach.
I feel like mid 20s feels about right for him, for where he ends up, like $25-ish or so.
I think it completely depends on when he's nominated.
It's so tough with guys in 20s. It depends on when they're nominated, and it depends on how aggressive the early draft is. If those guys are going to go $3 or $4 over, or $3 or $4 under, like last year.
Yeah, I mean, the earlier he goes, I think the more likely he is he goes over 30.
How many Patriots do you guys think I draft this year?
Two.
James White for sure, and then
Josh Gordon.
Another, and then Edelman. Two.
Okay,
I think just one.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm going to predict I end up with one. I can say in good faith I'm not going into this draft targeting a particular Patriot, but if history proves to be a predictor of the future, I think I most likely end up with one player on my least favorite team.
All right.
So you're saying Edelman?
Chris Hogan.
I hear you can get him for cheap this year.
Yeah, he's up in Charlotte now.
You know, so he's Carolina in Panther.
Yep.
I'm looking over my list here. I feel like I've got most of my predictions out of the way. I've got a couple other rapid fire ones. I think Devontae Freeman goes under 30. I think I can't remember what he's at now. Maybe like 37 or so. He goes real, real low. I'm going to say that tight end has a record number of players drafted for $1. I don't know what that record is, but I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of $1 tight end acquisitions.
I'm going to say 8. No, 7.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. So you have the top three.
The big three, Ingram, and then Ingram and Howard.
Hook, Henry. I think Hunter Henry goes for more than $1.
Yeah, he does like 7 or 8, right?
Yeah, 7. That's 7 that don't go for $1. I'll say 6.
There's always some backups who go for $1, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, some people might draft 2 tight ends or throw in $1 on somebody. I think 5 or 6 feels about right.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if Heino waits for tight end and then he throws out Waller or whichever one appears to be his favorite tight end target, I guarantee you I'm going $2 to make him pay 3. Let's be honest. So, everyone has to buy it.
Do that at your own risk, my friend.
Oh, yes. I shall.
Maybe my strategy is just to wait till you don't have any more money anymore.
Actually, I think you're gonna walk into accidentally getting Kittle or going like way undervalued because nobody ever pays for tight ends in our league. So maybe it changes. But I mean, those guys all had historic years last year. So I don't know. I think we'll continue to see tight ends bid down. A decent $10 under their value or so.
Yeah, I definitely did not go into last year's draft expecting to walk out of there with Ertz. That was definitely a in the moment value play.
You guys touched on it on the last spot. It's always weird when people just suddenly stop bidding way away from the price and you're like, oh, wait, okay. really? No one's going to plus one that? Okay. Giddy up.
Exactly. Nothing you can say in that situation but giddy up.
Yeah, and the one thing, I have no idea what's going to happen with, and I've stayed away from predicting anything. I have no idea what's going to happen on the top three or four receivers. I mean, Julio will go at a discount. I don't know what's going to happen with Hopkins, Adams, and I guess Beckham's tied with Hill for fourth behind those guys.
I think Hopkins, how many receivers have we had go for $50, over $50 or over in the past?
I don't know. Like Antonio Brown, peak Antonio Brown, I paid 53 for him 2 years ago in 2017. We've seen a big spike in receiver spending ever since we had that 2015 was a historic year in receiver scoring. So the people have been paying more. I think Mike went 50 for Julio last year. Jake went 50 even for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I think you, you go for like Hopkins? OBJ.
I think I went low 50s for Hopkins, I think. 51,
52. It seems like low 50s is the price point there. I don't know who's targeting what. Somebody's going to put two of them together.
I was going to say Hopkins is the only receiver that goes for $50 or more this year. Everybody else settles in like that 45 to 50 range, the other high-end receivers. But they stop short of the $50 mark. Like Adams might go for like 45, Odell 45, Julio maybe 46, 47, Juju around 45, Michael Thomas 46, 47. Like I feel like that's the range for that top end of receivers.
I think Juju goes up, gets up a little higher, and Adams as well potentially towards into the 50s.
Yo, do you have any more rapid fire ones? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Gelch.
I think the only other one that I had written down was I predict that Rodgers is fourth among quarterbacks in total price. And I don't know who's going to go, but I just
Watson.
Maybe. And that's where, like, I maybe Watson, maybe Mayfield, certainly Mahomes, maybe, I don't know who else people fall in love with. Maybe someone gets in their head and they fall in love with, I don't know.
Carson Wentz. For whatever reason, of course, Carson Wentz. Everyone loves Carson Wentz. Come on.
Do we, though? Where did he go for last year, Carson Wentz? I forget.
I don't know. Cat had.
I
want to
say
like six or eight.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Luck might have been in that, you know, above Rodgers discussion, but now he's gone. So I feel like Mahomes and maybe Watson are above Rodgers. I feel like everybody else is going to be below.
Quarterback's so weird this year. There's so many intriguing options. I've never seen so many.
Yep, very true.
I have no idea if I'm going to get quarterback.
I think for that reason, a lot of the quarterbacks are going to be cheaper, too.
Yeah, I think Mahomes does go under 25, too. I initially set 25 as the tipping point for Mahomes. I think he goes slightly under to Taco, 23.
I could see some people bidding him up maybe closer to 30 this year. I think that there might be enough
Jazz.
Desire for him. People saw what he did last year. I think maybe he closes in on 30.
Just takes two to tango.
It does. It does indeed. And that's what's going to be intriguing about the rest of the QBs who are projected for, you know, $3, $4, $5, whatever. You know, if two people really like a guy, all of a sudden, oh, look, so-and-so's going for $10. How'd that happen? You know.
Often known as the Gelchin on Gelchin bidding crime.
We don't have to worry about that this year.
That is true.
Speaking of our new league entrant, I predict that Rachel will end up with the Ravens defense. Even if she has to pay $2 or $3 for it.
I had a Rachel prediction in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel gets Travis Kelce prediction.
Ah. And how much will she pay for him?
Ooh, $37.
Wow.
That's high. That's traditionally very high for a tight end. Even I don't think Gronk at Gronk his peak. What did he 35. Go for at his peak? Did he?
No, Gronk, I want 40? To think got high 30s or even low 40s.
42?
Gronk got in the 30s, mid to high 30s. Kelce had a better year last year than Gronk had at his peak, I believe. I have to go back and check. He also won a championship in our league. You guys
Who owned Kelce?
I think it's going to be a Goop versus Rachel bidding war. That's going to bring it up a little higher. And that's nine under value. I know tight ends go for nothing in our league, but I think Goop and Rachel are going to get into their first little dance-off, if you will. Nothing better than a dance
fight. Interesting. 37 feels about right for him.
It might
I think there's a mental block, but like if you see a tight end approaching 40, I feel like the rest of the league will get skittish. Like, oh, $40 for a tight end? No, thank you.
Yeah, but this tight end puts up two numbers, and there's not many pieces of the Kansas City offense to get. There's really only
no,
three.
No, there's not. That's right. Unless you're a Darwin or Darwin Thompson? Thompson truther. Yeah. Intriguing to see where he ends up. Intriguing to see where like he goes and like the trendy like Daryl Henderson types. Maybe Eckler as well. Eckler is a wild card because who the hell knows with Gordon. Kind of those types of running backs. You could easily see some bidding wars on those guys. Relatively speaking, not like out of control, but like Eckler, like what does Austin Eckler go for? I have no idea. I have no feel for what he should go for.
Low 20s.
He's somehow priced only at $4 right now, even though ESPN has dropped Gordon down to 37. I don't know how none of those dollars went to Eckler. Makes no sense to me. He's got to go for at least 12. I hope somebody is kind of a jerk and puts Eckler and Tony Pollard and Darwin Thompson out before their respective handcuffs, because that's always hilarious when that happens.
Hardy, har, har. All right, let's switch gears. Do we have any more predictions before we switch gears? Forever hold your peace, three.
I would again like to stick paint.
What was that, Joe?
I said, again, I would like to predict pain.
Oh, pain. Okay. All right. So let's switch gears. We have one more voicemail to get to, and this is probably the on equal par with the first voicemail we heard. Another voicemail again from Joe. But this one's actually announcing the name of the league. So let's go ahead and give that one a listen.
Alert. Alert. Beanpole is here. The champ is here.
It's the most electrifying move in sports entertainment today!
Beanpole! Yes, yes, it is I, as champion, by the people, for the people, and of the people. I've chosen as my God-given right to name what has prior to this moment been nameless. Now, the league holds unbounded potential for enjoyment, for friendship, for glory. Now, to try to quantify that, it's impossible. Fool's errand. Not unlike a bag of baby carrots. There could be any number in there. There's no way of knowing. Thus, as the champ enjoys a good chuckle and a great metaphor, the league will be named Bottomless Baby Carrots. Pause for effect.
Ha ha ha. Very funny, Joe. It's hilarious.
Beanpole. Joe, very solid job naming everything this year. Very well done.
The champ is satisfied with himself.
Let's not go that far.
When did you know you were what you were naming the league?
I think was it, did you text me directly or on WhatsApp and you asked me if I had my league name yet? About 5 minutes after that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's just no telling how many carrots there are in a bag. So, and there's no telling how much fun we could have in this league this year. So many possibilities. A fool's errand. Though,
perfect
I will
metaphor.
Say, woe to the to he or she who touches the bottom of the bag of baby carrots. Nothingness down there. It's called a winless season, 0-13. The only way to get there. And you never really come back. Maybe physically, but not mentally.
I mean, there's at least 1,000 carrots to put your hands through first.
Could you imagine somebody ever went 0-13? You never live it down. You gotta win at least one.
It really would be, I think, one of the greatest achievements this league has ever seen, if that were to happen. Like, obviously, they couldn't tank any of their matchups. They would have to try and win and keep making moves and everything, but to go 0-13 is a special kind of hell.
I don't think anyone's ever started more than 0-7, I want to say.
Who went 0-7?
I think it was you.
Was it me in 2015?
Yeah, I believe so. I remember.
Ah, okay.
I remember in rivalry week, there were a couple teams that started over 6, and I was like, oh, there's no way Hino is beating me this week. Blood makes the grass grow. It made you stronger, though. 2 title games the next 2 years.
That's
what I'm
right.
Here for.
That's right.
Eric Feldman.
That caused a little bit of soul searching that 2015 season. Also, I just had more time to devote to fantasy in 2016 and 17.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a pretty great episode. We're approaching an hour. I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
We're going to disappoint Gates with our time. He's very upset when Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour does not live up to its name.
But he can listen to it on the way there and back. We're filling up more of his time. I don't get that argument.
Gates only goes there. Never back again for Gates. He only goes there. Suicide missions every time. We saw him play diplomacy.
No, I think I'm good. I was just
We all gotta pick we gotta predict the league champion without knowing any teams. You gotta at least throw out who's gonna win. You can't predict yourself.
Rachel,
you gotta predict someone else. Whose time is dying?
Let's see.
Rachel.
I'm not going to pick Joe to repeat.
Rachel.
Hashtag
Rachel.
I'm going to go Chaz. Chaz, I'm going to go
yes.
with you.
Best friends.
This is your year.
Thank you, buddy.
The league would you. Never be the now, same again.
Now I reserve the right to change my opinion
after
your
the draft.
Draft
sure.
Yeah, let's just say right now it'll be you.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it would make sense that Chaz would. Because right now, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I was going through Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. Division 1 might as well be called the Champs and Chaz. I would say.
Ouch.
If I can't predict. Myself, you know what? I feel like that it would be fitting in year 10 that that a newcomer comes in and then just like that would just destroy people that in on the first go round. Rachel, I'd say, or perhaps because Jake is just so heartbroken that he lost his rival after all these years that he wins one in Ryan's honor. My inclination is always to go 12-0 and to for Notre Dame and to choose myself, but I'll say Rachel or Jake.
How about you, Chaz? Who do you think is going to win this year?
I think that someone other than me, because I can't pick me, who will win, is going to be...
It's a great sentence you got going here, Chaz.
Tim.
It's a fun one to diagram in school.
Tim or my wife. I get two, because if I don't say my wife, she's going to get mad. Tim or my wife. Those are the two I'm choosing.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And if I'm right, yeah. I get my name under their name on the trophy, on the front of the trophy. Just saying.
All right. We are predicting another season of misery for J-Bone. Good to know.
Yes. I predict pain for J-Bone. I predict pain for all. World's a hard place. I'm gonna pick Cat. Since you kind of picked Cat, I'm gonna go with Joe to win it this year. I think the magical trend of the championship loser from the prior year then winning the following year will continue for the third straight year. Gelch lost to Mike, then he won. Heino lost to Gelch, and he won. I lost to Heino, then I won. Now, Joe.
I didn't even realize that. That's crazy.
It is pretty crazy, isn't it?
It is, but let's not forget the two of you guys only got to where you were because I traded away my running backs at bargain bottom prices, so that won't be happening this year.
David Johnson.
Chaz, are you suggesting...
did very low today, but he gets a ring.
Chaz, just to clarify, are you suggesting that their title should have an asterisk next to them?
No, because I traded them for...
Actually, it does kind of sound like you're making that argument there, Chaz.
No, I didn't trade them for bottom prices, but I traded those running backs because I wanted to have phone, and I traded them for, you know, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen so I could have those two guys plus Cousins. So I traded them more to have fun, but I got value out of the trades. Let's be very clear, Gelch. Even though I traded away something, I still got, you know, compensatory value for them when I gave them away. So no asterisk.
You said they won the league because of those.
They did, but doesn't mean they didn't give up pieces to get them.
Only one of us won the league, just for the record.
That's true, but one of you guys, either of you won that had my running back. We didn't give up what we gave up for basically a bag of Cheetos.
May the flag your fingers forever. Mm-hmm. But Joe did get
flag fly forever, and Cheeto dust lasts forever.
But I mean, imagine Thielen was the no-brainer number one receiver, and Joe flipped him for Elliott, which was a good deal for him at the time, and then turned out to be an even better deal. Diggs and Johnson was pretty much a push. David Johnson never really became the David Johnson that he was meant to be last year. So he did catch that broken touchdown from Larry Fitzgerald in the championship game. So kudos to you, David Johnson. And thank you.
All right, so we'll call it there. This has been our prediction hour special. Again, we'll probably, I guess, you know, we're going to be doing the roundtable right after on Thursday. So I guess it's a question of which one of these do we release first. I'll probably look to release this prediction episode on Friday and then maybe follow it up on Saturday with the Thursday night recap. That's probably what the plan will be. And also, I realize now, even though we've already gotten and recorded all this, we talked about the divisions and the name of the thing on this podcast, which wouldn't be releasing until afterwards. So people will see the names of the divisions before this podcast gets released. So I might have to do a separate recording on like Thursday announcing the names. Because otherwise, we don't have to
do that. I think it's okay if you wanted to release this like Thursday before the draft. I think that's fine.
Okay. I can release it Thursday.
Listen to it if they want.
That's fine. They'll just listen to it before the draft. That's all.
Yeah. It's going to be fine.
All right. We'll discuss it. All right, guys. Thanks so much for your participation, especially you, Mancuso, Gelch. I don't care. And we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.